Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to encourage you, as you're making your holiday travel plans, remember to visit johnnydollarair.com. It's a Priceline affiliate, so you get the advantages of going through priceline.com, including being able to save on hotels, rental cars, and airline tickets through published specials or by naming your own price. Plus, if you find a deal that works for you, you help to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with no additional cost to you. So remember, johnnydollarair.com. Now it's time for us to go ahead and take a listen to The Tears of Night Manor, Part 5, and coming up after the show, in our brief commentary, will be the next installment of Carter Brown.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Good morning, darling. Hello, hello. We should get married today.
Is your name Teddy Davis?
What? Who is this? Where's Elise?
My name's Johnny Dollar. I'm in her apartment.
What? Hey, what?
Now listen to me. I'm an insurance investigator, and there have been a couple of murders here.
Murders? In Elise's apartment?
She's going to need you and all the help she can get to bring her out of it. Mostly you. I've called Homicide and they're on their way and it might be pretty rough for her.
I'll be right over.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Tears of Night matter. It was a long morning, and a lieutenant of police thought I was crazy when he met me in the apartment with two dead men and the hysterical woman. My face was bruised and black and blue from the beating the dead men had handed me the night before. The lieutenant, his name is Brady, had a time getting hold of Hillary Fuchs to back up my story. But Teddy Davis was a different matter. He showed up with a doctor and lawyer. And through their combined efforts, Elise Wendover was removed not to police headquarters, but to a private hospital. It was obvious from powder tests that Mrs. Wendover could not have fired the .45, which ended the lives of Feely and Toby. Obvious to me. Lieutenant Brady was a skeptical man.
You stay right there and keep your trap shut. I'll figure out what to do with you in a minute. All right, come on, get those baskets out of here.
I say, Dollar.
Hi, Teddy. How's Mrs. Wendover?
Well, that remains to be seen. She's screaming about that darned curse again. She thinks she had something to do with these murders. Dollar, I don't know quite how you fit into all this. I do know I'm terribly indebted to you for calling me. Now, what can I do for you? Are you in trouble?
I don't think so. Brady's just excited. He can't see where I should be involved, so he suspects me.
Of what?
Oh, he doesn't know that. He's a policeman, and he suspects everybody. But don't you worry about it. You get back to her.
I really do have a good lawyer. He can work on it if you give the word. I can't just walk out of here feeling that you're in jeopardy. Now, what can I do?
I thought you were over at the hospital, Mr. Davis.
I was. I came back to see what I could do for Mr. Dollar.
You can scram now.
Watch whom you're talking to, Lieutenant. This man is my friend.
Hey, are you kidding?
Not a bit.
Take it easy, fellas. Take it easy.
Yeah. You said your name's Dollar. Insurance Dick. Let's see your buzzer. Okay, out of Hartford. What's the job?
Mrs. Wendover's husband died 2 years ago. She just got around to filing for benefits last week. We were curious about it.
Go on.
Well, can't you see, Mrs. Wendover?
Let him, huh?
As near as I can make out, Mrs. Wendover's overlooked a lot of things since her husband's death. Taxes, bank accounts, whatnot. Hillary Fuchs can tell you that much.
This curse business she mumbles about.
Well, she lost her husband. Before that, her brother, killed in the war, and her father before that.
You know, you don't seem to pay much attention. I explained
I'm
all of it.
I'm going to pop you in the cooler if you open your mouth again, Mr. Davis. Go on, how about the insurance?
Well, all okay. I was ready to leave town last night. As a matter of fact, I'd called for a plane from Fuchs' office. When a man named Scanlon came in, mistook me for Fuchs, and said Sam Costigan wanted to see me. Costigan's got a gambling place on the
other side. Yeah, we know about it. Go on.
Well, Costigan gave me a necklace, the Tears of Night. Said it belonged to Mrs. Wendover. He asked me to bring it back to her. Said she'd pawned it at the roulette table. When I got here, Mrs. Wendover was wearing the Tears of Night, or something that looked just like it. Well, I was curious. I looked up the jeweler who had made it, a man named Mortuus. He said I was carrying the real thing. When I left his place, a couple of men from Costigan's place followed me.
Who?
Those two who were killed, Feely and Toby. They caught up with me outside of this apartment house and tried to shake me down for the necklace, but I'd mailed it to myself at my hotel. So they worked me over and left me there. When I came to earlier this morning, I came up here and found Mrs. Wendover sitting here in a state of shock, the two stiffs in her room.
That's it?
Yeah, Brady, that's it.
How long you been an insurance dick?
14 years.
You bonded?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going to let him go, or aren't you?
Shut up. Shut up, and I'll tell you both what I'm up against here. I know Mrs. Wendover couldn't have had anything to do with the killings. I know you, Dollar, couldn't either.
Then go out and find who killed those two men.
Those two and the other one.
Huh?
Costigan was gunned down a couple of hours ago.
About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Brady released me and Teddy Davis drove me back to my hotel. The clerk at the desk looked at my bandaged face and turned 8 shades of white when he handed me my key. I thanked him and told him I'd kept a date with a barracuda. I was feeling kiddish, also a little dizzy and a little tired. I was looking forward to a hot shower and 10 hours sleep when I walked in my room.
Oh, Dollar, I've been expecting you. Come in, sir, come in.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Mortuus.
I've been amusing myself with this pocket chess set of yours. Mexican, eh? Sit down, sit down. You've had a hectic night.
Your boys were pretty rough, Mr. Mortuus.
Philly and Toby are two men of another world, Mr. Dollar, not of our world. Allow me to apologize for their actions.
I want more than an apology. They almost beat me to death.
And so unnecessary, too. Do you know, I underestimated you, Mr. Dollar. Such an ingenious method of protecting the Tears of Night. Why, sir, by the simple expedient of placing it in an envelope and mailing it to yourself from my hotel lobby, you hired as guardians the entire United States Postal Service, not to mention the armed forces.
Yeah. Want one of these?
No, thanks. I'm one of those faint-hearted persons who cannot abide liquor until after 6 p.m.
What happens now?
We wait for the mail.
We do,
huh? Precisely.
Then while we're waiting, maybe you'll be kind enough to tell me about the double cross.
If you can bear my vanity, Mr. Dollar, I have invented a new word, triple cross. It has a ring to it, eh?
That sounds likely.
You see, Mr. Scanlon approached me last week and asked me to duplicate the Tears of Night Mrs. Wendover had truly pawned at the gaming table. Naturally, I became suspicious.
Let me guess what you became suspicious of.
Oh, well, it was fairly obvious that Mr. Scanlon was planning to double-cross Mr. Costigan. That is, when the time came to return Mrs. Wendover's necklace, he intended to return the bogus piece I made up.
And you got into the act.
That is when I first conceived my own plans, yes. Unfortunately, Mr. Costigan learned of the little deceit going on around him, and Mr. Scanlon was forced to shoot him.
So Scanlon shot Costigan. How about Toby and Feely?
Mrs. Scanlon again, abetted by the last of the house of Mortuus.
You helped him kill them, then planted them in Elise Wendover's apartment.
Oh, dear, a crude touch, I thought, but it had a purpose. With two cadavers in her living room, she was very unlikely to discuss her bogus necklace with the police. And I doubt very much if she knew whether she was wearing the original or an imitation. Flighty girl.
That's the lousiest thing the house of Mortuus ever did. She walked in and found these two there, and the doctor doesn't know whether she'll ever be sane again.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. If you had merely returned the necklace to Mrs. Wendover, it would have been a simple thing to effect an exchange, and none of this would have been necessary. Well, then, bygones are bygones.
Yeah, sure, I know. You just sit here and wait for the mail.
No. We wait for the mail.
What about your playmate, Scanlon? Why isn't he waiting with you?
Scanlon? I'm afraid I'll be sought for a murder of two or three this night. I'm certain the police will find his body before the day is out, but I did need him to help me carry the bodies to Elise Wendover's apartment. Elise. Tell me something, Mr. Dollar. Does that name Elise bother you as much as it bothers me? Give me a woman with a name like Celeste or Josephine or Roxanne. Those, sir, are names for the creatures. But Elise, twaddle.
Where are the police going to find Scanlon?
Oh, in my hotel room, which I departed hastily once the room clerk had informed me of your ingenious method for protecting the necklace. I shot him there.
you work cheap, Mr. Mortuus.
Cheap, sir? I don't understand.
$10,000 necklace. It's not quite a king's ransom, is it?
The tears of night are worth closer to $100,000. I'm afraid I misinformed you as to their value. I didn't want you to become suspicious.
I suppose you think you'll get away with it.
Well, I'm an old man. Attended to a destitute and bankrupt jewelry firm with nothing ahead. A few grim years and finally a whimpering end. Requiescat in pace. Live. That's what I want to do. Live. And this is my opportunity to live like a king. And young man, I've taken it. Veni, vidi, vici.
Oh, you're crazy. You're crazier than a mosquito in December, Mr. Marquis. They'll grab you before you make the airport.
I don't think they will. I shall leave here and turn the tears of night into cash. With a well-laden purse, I shall guarantee to elude the police over half the world. In 2 years, maybe three, yes, they'll get me. But I'll have spent the money. And what more could a man ask than a perfect fulfillment of all his wishes, eh? I ask you, sir, as one gentleman to another, what more could a man ask? Cautious, Mr. Dollar. I do shoot well. Answer it. Tell them to go away. I'll be right beside you. All right. Open it.
One side, Dollar. I've got a gun.
Scanlon!
I thought I'd find you waiting for the mail. You dirty... You didn't do such a good job on me.
Caution, Mr. Scanlon. I have a gun, too.
I'll last long enough to let you have it.
Your loss of blood has made you groggy, Mr. Scanlon.
But still good enough.
Scanlon rolled over and lay still. Mortuus kind of grunted and leaned back against the wall. He had a pained look on his face.
Mr. Dara. Mr. Dara. I do believe I've been shot. I'll need a little assistance. I can't seem to hold my feet, sir. I can't seem to hold my feet.
Lie still.
It was an awkward plan at best, eh? Demortuus nil nisi bonum, Dora. Or if your Latin still escapes you, speak well of the dead.
Let me have the police. Expense account. Well... Expense account total, $405.16. Details? Mrs. Wendover will recover. Remarks? I'll stand for the last 2 days of expense myself. I didn't have any business sticking my nose in the jewelry end of it. But if you make me pay for them, don't ever try to hire me again. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, the matter of a reasonable doubt, a case of many doubts, and believe me, all of them are most unreasonable. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Virginia Gregg, Victor Perrin, Jack Crucian, Jay Novello, William Conrad, Frank Gerstle, Marvin Miller, and Will Wright. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino and Carl Fotina. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, overall, a pretty decent serial. Overall, it was a good crime story. This was actually adapted from two separate half-hour mystery programs. It reused a story from 1948, The Diamond Quartet, on Jeff Regan, and also The Adventures of Sam Spade, The Tears of Night caper from July 24th of 1949. I think it's a pretty reliable thing if there's a real serious beating of the detective. It was adapted from Sam Spade. I mean, not from Sam Spade, but from Jeff Regan, because they did those pretty prodigiously on that show. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get into our next show as we continue on with Belladonna Was Poison from the Carter Brown Mysteries.
Carter Brown Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
Being an actor is fun, most of the time. You get all the excitement of a dramatic situation with none of the worry, because it's all been worked out for you beforehand by a writer. But the fun fizzles out when a real-life dramatic situation ups and smacks you in the face, and there's no script to rely on. Now, just because my name was Rockstone, and they tacked the word inspector in front of it for my TV show, There's No Future in Murder, I was given star billing by Homicide Inspector Jakes when the actress Hannah Vogue was killed. Now, the inspector didn't like me, and this was his way of showing it.
Rock, darling, this is the most wonderful publicity the show could ever have had.
We look at things from different angles. You're the producer, Arlene. That's fine for you. I'm just an actor. And right now, I wish I'd never gone to drama school.
What a story. Front page in every paper. Inspector Rock Stone, TV's tech hunts for killer. There's no future in murder, says Stone, with a hot lead to prove it. Ah, this is terrific.
This is terrible.
Inspector Jakes may have shoved this onto you, Rock, but you'll have to go through with it. You'll have to find the murderer. This will catch the public's imagination. They'll expect it.
You're crazy. How'll I find who killed her?
Deduction. You've been playing this show for over a year. Sam Long does a lot of research to make the scripts look authentic. You're a cop, Rock. Just play it the way you would in the show.
Yeah, but this is for real. Supposing I did find the murderer.
That would be wonderful.
Except that the murderer mightn't have the same script as I have. He might rewrite it with me as the corpse.
Let's worry about that when you found him. Come on, Rock, give. Start deducting.
Well, okay, I guess I can try. Now, Hannah Vogue was to be on next week's show. You auditioned her for it, right?
Correct, Inspector Stone.
Well, how did you find her? Did she come from a casting agency?
No, as a matter of fact, Sam introduced her to me. He said she'd had some theater experience and needed a break. It was only a small part, and she had the looks for it, so I gave it to her.
Sam Long? Hey, maybe we're starting to get someplace.
There you are. You see how easy this deduction is once you get going?
Yeah. Where would I find Sam at this time of the day?
Oh, that's easy. Harry's Bar. Let's go.
Hi there, Sam. Hey, we've been looking for you.
Ah, the great Inspector Stone. Following your hot lead, Inspector?
That was Jake's idea, and I'm stuck with it. Hey, listen, Sam. Arlene tells me you introduced Hannah Vogue to her.
That's right. So what?
Say, what do you know about her?
Sorry, Inspector. That's confidential.
Oh, come on, Sam. Somehow Rock has to solve this thing, or there'll be no show anymore, and we'll all be out of a job.
Yeah, that's a point. Okay, but don't quote me. Someone whispered gently in my ear that Hannah Vogue was a brilliant young actress who should get a break on the show.
Well, who said that?
I told you, don't quote me. Our revered sponsor himself.
You mean Aldous Lacey?
Of Lacey's departmental store, the very same. I was told not to mention his name, but all the same, he wanted to see her appear on the show or else.
You'll have to talk to him, Rock.
To the sponsor? Are you nuts?
Well, it has to be done, and you'll have to do it alone.
Well, if that isn't typical. The producer gives the orders, the poor dumb act has to do the work.
Come in, Stone. Come in. Glad you called. I was just going to leave a message at the studio that I wanted to see you.
Oh? What about, Mr. Lacey?
I've read the story in the papers, and of course my manager, Sheep, told me what had happened. Your statement about intending to solve the murder yourself is a magnificent gesture, Stone. I congratulate you on it.
Thanks.
It'll be a wonderful thing for the show, and for me as the sponsor, of course. You'll need all the help you can get. That's why I was going to send for you.
Oh?
You're a man of the world, Stone. You'll understand when I say I knew Anna Vogue rather well.
Oh, sure, Mr. Lacey.
And I wanted to help her. She aspired to be an actress. I told Long to see she got a part in the show. I'm being quite frank about this, Stone. I trust you realize the necessity for discretion on your part.
I'm a clam, Mr. Lacey.
If anyone else got to know this, embarrassing for a man in my position.
Oh, naturally. I understand.
Good, then that's that.
Not quite, Mr. Lacey.
No? What else is there?
A couple of questions I'd like to ask.
Oh?
Have you any idea why she was murdered?
None at all.
When did you last see her?
Well, it must have been Tuesday night. Yes, we watched a show at her apartment. I left about 9.
Did she seem worried about anything?
Not at all. She was her usual vivacious self.
Oh, well, thanks, Mr. Lacey. Oh, just one other thing. Would you give me the address of her apartment?
Yes, of course. I'll write it down for you. There you are.
Well, thank you.
You're planning to call him?
Uh-huh.
Well, in that case, perhaps I'd better give you the key, too.
On my way to Hannah Vogue's apartment, I wondered about the strange contrast in the dead girl's behavior. According to Aldous Lacey, when he saw her on Tuesday night, she was her usual vivacious self. When I saw her, later that same Tuesday night, she was scared, almost incoherent. I stood inside her apartment and looked around. It was really quite a layout. Obviously, any girl under Aldous Lacey's protection had nothing but the best. I stepped over to the door of the bedroom.
Ah!
Well, well, well. An inhabitant. And what an interesting inhabitant.
Who are you? How did you get in here?
With this key. Hey, how did you? This is Hannah Vogue's apartment.
I'm a friend of Hannah's. She invited me to stay here. I only arrived yesterday.
Did you know she'd been murdered?
Yes, the police were here today asking questions. I answered them all. And now here I am answering more from someone I don't even know.
Well, we can remedy that. My name's Stone. Rock Stone.
The television star? The man who's made all the headlines and who's going to track down Hannah's murderer?
That's right.
Mr. Stone, I think you're wonderful.
You do?
I certainly do. And I'd like to help you find the killer.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mr.
I'm Lois Shaw.
Well, nice to know you, Lois.
It'll be even nicer once we're working closer together.
Huh?
Well, you're going to let me help you in your search for the murder, aren't you?
If you get as close as that, you won't be helping. You'll be hindering.
But it'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I'm not interested in fun right now. I've got too much else on my mind. Anyway, how can you help me?
I could give you a tip.
Such as?
Ask your producer, Arlene Malden, about her sister, Kathy.
I never knew she had a sister, Kathy.
Kathy died. Ask Miss Malden how.
I left the luscious Lois puzzling over her cryptic reference to Kathy Malden's death and headed for Harry's bar, where I expected to find Arlene and Sam still waiting for me. But there was a message that they'd gone to the studio. When I arrived there, I found I'd forgotten about the conference for the next program of There's No Future in Murder.
We've got the scripts. All we've got to do is check through them in case anyone has any bright ideas. Then I can go ahead with the casting. I have to get someone else to play the murdered girl, of course.
Hey, hold it a minute, Arlene.
What is it, Gruff?
We can't do this show next week.
Why not?
Well, maybe you've forgotten, Sam, that Inspector Jakes told the press that Inspector Rockstone was going to solve Hannah Vogue's murder.
No, but I don't see...
If we're going to keep any viewers at all for the program, next week's show's got to be devoted to the case of Hannah Vogue. In the next show, Inspector Rockstone has to reveal the murderer's identity.
Hey, that's a colossal idea. Here, give me the details and I'll start work on the script right away.
I haven't any details.
What are you talking about?
The show will have to be played without a script. It'll have to be an impromptu job. We'll have to play it by ear.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Aren't you overlooking one minor point? You have no more idea right now who killed her than I have, or Inspector Jakes has.
Well, that doesn't matter. We do the show just as it happened. We can get photographs to use from the newspaper boys. We'll make sure everyone concerned appears in front of the cameras. Even if we don't find who the murderer is, then we've still got a so-called finish. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just seen the actual events which took place. You have seen and heard everyone connected with the girl, Hannah Vogue, who was poisoned. One of them may be her murderer. Who is your choice?
Hey,
can you imagine what that will get us?
Yes, about $3 million worth of libel suits.
My bet is it'll get us the murderer. Hey, imagine the strain of appearing in front of the cameras knowing 1 million people are watching you. How easy it would be to make one small slip of the tongue, one small fatal slip, that reveals you as the murderer.
People will just refuse to appear on the show, that's all, including the murderer.
No, they wouldn't dare. Look, imagine the question mark in people's minds if someone refuses to cooperate. It'd practically brand them as the murderer right away.
Yeah, he's right, Arlene. He's really got an idea there.
Well, I suppose it could be possible. And if by any chance we unmask the murderer, it'd lift the show's rating like nothing else could.
Well, it looks like you two don't need me anymore. Since I haven't any script to write, I might as well gravitate back to Harry. You can catch me there if you want me.
So long, Sam.
Listen, Rock, do you know any more than you're telling? I mean, this idea of an off-the-cuff show, you must have something to go on.
Not really, Arlene. I've only been around asking questions. Oh, and there's one that was suggested I ask you.
Oh?
About your sister.
Kathy.
Yeah, in particular, about how she died.
Who suggested you ask me?
Well, the girl I found in Hannah Vogue's apartment. A girl called Lois Shore.
Never heard of her. How on earth does she know anything about it?
I don't know, but apparently she does. Oh, look, if you don't want to talk about it, Arlene...
No, I guess you might as well know. Kathy was found in a swimsuit on the beach at San Antonio, drowned. Coroner's court brought in a verdict of accidental death.
See, that's tough.
It's even tougher than you know, Rock. Kathy was 5 years younger than me. She was always a wild kid. She was working as a model in L.A., and then I found she'd given that up. She was living in San Antonio in a house that a man was renting. I wrote to her warning her. She said the man would get tired of her and throw her out. She wrote back and told me that that would never happen because she knew too much about him. I didn't pay any attention to that at the time.
Go on, Arlene.
Then, some months later, I got another letter. What I'd prophesied had happened.
Yeah, the guy had thrown her over.
Yes, but she wasn't standing for it. She'd told him she wanted $100,000 compensation, or she'd give him $100,000 worth of publicity that would ruin him. I didn't get any letters after that because she died.
Is that all?
Not quite, Rock, but I'm afraid I've overdone the build-up. The punchline will probably be a letdown. You see, the man was Aldous Lacey.
Welcome back. Well, the suspects are multiplying, and we'll have to see what next week's turn is, so be sure and listen next Friday for another episode of Carter Brown. And we'll be back on Monday with a brand new Johnny Dollar serial. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.